Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
So today we are going to be ending a teaching series that we've been doing all month long called Avengers Assemble. I believe today is the third part three of this lesson. And so we're going to go ahead and get into it, and we're going to end it for today. And as I've been saying, and as I've been starting off ever since the beginning, and there came a day unlike any other, when Earth's mightiest heroes and heroines found themselves united against a common threat. On that day, the Avengers were born to fight the foes no single hero could withstand. Through the years, their rosters has prospered, changing many times, but their glory has never been denied. Heed the call, then, now, Avengers assemble. Amen. So throughout this series, what we've been looking at, what we've been learning, what we've been talking about is the importance of us coming together to fight a common cause and to also fight a common threat. And that is the devil. The devil has wreaked havoc on this world for generations, over and over and over again. And it's time for us to be brave enough to take a stand against the enemy, against the devil himself. We learned in the beginning that God had said in his word, he said, whatever we bind in heaven will be bound on earth. And he said, whatever we allow, or sorry, let me change that. He said, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And he also said, whatever we allow on earth will also be allowed on heaven. And so one of the things is that we have done for ages, for generations, is we have allowed for the devil to have his way. We have allowed for him to wreak havoc in the lives of people for far too long. And so instead of binding him up, instead of restricting him, instead of not allowing him, we have allowed it. And because we have allowed him to have his way here on the earth, then God has allowed him to have his way as well. It's up to us. He's given us the authority. He said in the very beginning when he created Adam, he said, I have given you dominion over the earth. I have given you the authority to rule over the earth. So go and rule the earth. We have not taken that dominion. We have not taken the authority that God has given us and rule this earth. Instead, we have allowed for the devil to rule this earth in so many different ways by allowing him to wreak havoc in the lives of many people. So we need to assemble ourselves. We need to be brave enough to take a stand against the devil, against the enemy, a common threat that we all have, and tell him no more. No more will he continue to wreak havoc in our lives, and we got to say so about that. And so here in this, the third part that we're in today, you know, we're going to talk about what it is to take one for the team. I'm sure many of you all have heard this. The title of our lesson for today's lesson is taking one for the team. I'm sure many of you have heard this phrase over and over and over again, take one for the team. You know, this concept has been around for a very, very long time. I'm going to make an assumption that everyone on here has heard that phrase at some point or another. Maybe you've used it yourself in different settings or whatever, you know, taking one for the team. Many times in my life, I have happily and I have willingly taken one for the team. You know, I've taken one for the team in my careers and different jobs that I've been on. I've taken one for the team in my family and also with my friends. I've taken one for the team when it comes to different, you know, sporting teams that I've been on and different activities that I participate in. Many times, you know, I can look over my life and past times, I can look at my life and even recent times where I have taken one for the team, and I've done it happily and I've done it willingly. You know, every now and again, you know, we hear this statement, you know, taking one for the team is, you know, as many times as I have taken one for the team, and as many times as I've been a team player, you know, I still sometimes struggle with taking one for the team. You know, it's sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes, you know, when I see a situation or I'm in a situation where, you know, maybe I need to take one for the team, I still somehow struggle with that. Taking one for the team is not something that I would say the average person just jumps up and do. You know, you do have some people that'll do it without thinking. There are many situations in my life where I take one for the team and I do it without even thinking. I don't even second guess it. I see there's a need. I see somebody's in need. I see that there's a situation where I can help out someone or help out the team. And I don't even think twice about it. I just jump in and I just do it. But there are times where I do struggle with it a little bit. And, you know, and that's a common feeling when there's a situation or someone says, you know, take one for the team. So the question then is, when is it good to take one for the team? When is taking one for the team a good thing? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is when is it a good thing to take one for the team? So first off, taking one for the team is good when you're on a true team. When you're on a true team, then it becomes a good thing. That when you're on a true team, then it becomes easier for you to take one for the team. You know, in my experience, you know, if you're part of a true team, you know, a team that shares the same goals, a team that is working towards a common cause, it becomes really easy to take one for the team and to go the extra mile. When everybody is trying to accomplish the same thing, everybody's moving in the same direction, everybody is on one accord, it becomes much easier to take one for the team. But then if you're on a team that is in disarray, you're on a team that is going in multiple different directions, you know, you're on a team where you got players are playing for themselves and not necessarily for the benefit of the team as a whole, you know, it becomes really hard to take one for the team. You know, whether it's volunteering, it could be, you know, resolving issues between family and friends. It could be working overtime on the job or practicing late. You know, if you're on in a team activity or team sport or something like that, whatever it is, if you're on a true team, then you are willing to do it to help out a team member or to help the team out as a whole. When you know that you're on the right team, when you're on a good team, a team that, again, that's on one accord, moving in the right direction, doesn't matter what it is. You know, sometimes we, you know, have issues with volunteering in different aspects of our lives or different aspects of our community or even on a job. Sometimes your jobs may ask you to volunteer for a particular cause that they're involved in or something like that. And if you know that your job or your career you're pretty much in agreement with a lot of things that they're doing. And then when they step out to do something in the community and they say, hey, we're going to team up with St. Jude. They got a thing that's going over here. So we want to help them out. We're going to team up with them. So we need some volunteers. Many people will not hesitate to volunteer to join in and be a part of the team and, you know, take one for the team to go help out in a situation. You know, if it's volunteering with some no name or some organization that's in disarray, those people are like, I don't know about that one. I may not do that one. You know, same thing. Sometimes in our lives, in our families and even with our friends, you know, we have situations where somebody's in need. We have some situations where people need help. You know, in order for you to help them or in order for you to be there for them, you know, it may cause you to have to take one for the team. And depending on the type of relationships that are had in those family members or with those friends, you know, it could be a situation where you may be a little bit doubtful about taking one for the team. But if everything's, you know, if the team seems to be working well, your family, your friends, and so, and for the most part, then you may be like, you know what, we need to jump in here. We need to do this. You know what I mean? So, you know, I can think of a few people that have earned a reputation of being a team player. People who, because of their willingness, you know, they're so ready, so willing to just jump in and just do what's necessary to help somebody that's in need or to help the team, you know, to move forward and to progress in a common cause or a common goal. You know, there are different people. And I'm sure all of you can think of people that are like that. Maybe somebody on your job that you can think about, man, that person has a reputation of always being ready to, you know, take one for the team. Maybe there's somebody, you know, within your family you can think about. They're always ready to take one for the team. Some of you are part of different organizations that you affiliate yourself with. Maybe, you know, through a school or college or, you know, community, whatever that might be. Maybe some of you are involved in some sporting teams or groups or activities. And you can think of people everywhere. We can think of people who are just willing and they're just all seem like they're always ready to take one for the team. They have developed or they have earned that reputation of doing so. You know, I was I am still, but in when I was in Des Moines, that was something that really caused me to advance or excel in areas where normally you may not excel as fast. You know, I remember a time where I was in between jobs, and being in between jobs, my son Dion, he was just, I don't think he was a year old yet. You know, he was a baby, maybe. He wasn't a year old yet. But anyway, me being in between jobs, there was a time during the daytime where I was not working. So I would work at nighttime, a job that I had. I was working at nighttime. And so what I would do is in the daytime, I just could not sit at home. I was like going out of my mind sitting at home. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't do this. And so I put Dion in a daycare center and I would go to the church and I would volunteer at the church and clean up. And so I did this for, you know, a couple weeks or so. I would just show up at the church and I would say, hey, what y'all got? Y'all got anything y'all need some help with? I'll help out. And they'll say, yeah, you can help clean the church, help with, you know, with the housekeeping department. I said, okay, cool. Give me a mop, give me a broom, give me something. Okay, I got you. And one day we was having lunch, you know, with the staff and my pastor, which many of you know, Pastor Dan, he asked me the question. He said, hey, where is Dion at? You know, again, Dion was a baby at the time. I said, oh, he's in daycare. And he said, daycare? I said, yeah, he's in daycare. And hey, Google, stop music. Dang, Google just jumped on all of a sudden. But anyway, he said, are you paying for daycare? I said, yeah. I mean, who don't pay for daycare? Everybody pay for daycare. And he said, okay. He said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. He said, you're paying for daycare so that you can come here and volunteer to clean the church. And I was like, huh. I ain't never thought about it like that, but dang, yeah. I'm paying for daycare so I can go to the church and volunteer and clean up. And so bottom line is, I've always been that type of a person where, you know, I would take one for the team, you know, and not even think anything about it. You know, taking one for the team was me willing to pay for daycare so that I can do what's necessary to help the team out as a whole. And so that was so impressive to him. He offered me a job. You need a full-time job? You in a job transition right now? Yeah, I am. You know, okay, we're gonna give you a full-time job with benefits. Cool. You know, I'm taking it. But we all can think of people like that. It's just like a natural part of who they are, you know. And then there's some of us where we may have to work a little bit at it, you know, to be someone who will take one for the team. Taking one for the team, it requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice for some people that may, you know, struggle with, you know, or some situations where people may struggle with taking one for the team. This is probably one of the biggest reasons why, is because they understand that if they take one for the team, they are going to have to make a sacrifice somewhere. It's going to cost them something. They're going to have to give something up in order to take one for the team. But taking one for the team, it does require sacrifice. In the book of John, chapter 15, verses 12 and through 17. Actually, I think it's just 12, verse 12. It says, "This is my commandment." This is a commandment from Jesus Christ. This is not a, you know, if you feel good. This is not a occasionally or every now and then. This is not a, you know what, based on the circumstances and situations type of deal. This is a commandment. Jesus says, "This is my commandment. And my commandment is this, that you love each other in the same way that I have loved you." One of the things that Jesus did is he was constantly demonstrating what the type of love that he wanted us to demonstrate in the world, the type of love he wanted us to demonstrate with one another. He was constantly demonstrating. He was constantly showing us, encouraging us, telling us, this is how you love one another. And again, reminding ourselves that the two greatest commandments that he gave us, in which he said those two new commandments, he said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and might and strength, I believe. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. So love God, love one another, love yourself. And he says, he was constantly demonstrating how to love God. He was constantly demonstrating how to love oneself. He was constantly demonstrating how to love one another. And he says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. He says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Hold up, freeze, pump the brakes. You mean to tell me that I got to give up my life? And if I give up my life for someone, then I am demonstrating a love that is greater than any other type of love? Okay, bro, you tripping right now. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love. I want you guys to really capture that part right there. There is no greater love. Okay, so I need for you right now, everybody, right now, this type of love, I need you to put it at the highest level of all loves, okay? Meaning all loves that you can demonstrate. There is no greater love. That means every other kind of love, every other type of love falls where? Under this one. Under this one. There is no greater love than the one that that will lay down his life for a friend. There is no greater love than one who will lay down his life for a friend. So every other type of love or every other type of the kind of love falls underneath that. Visualize that, feel that, understand that, grab that, okay? Most people, when they think about dying for a friend, or when they think about laying down their life for a friend, most people, when they think about that, they think about death, or they think about a sacrifice in a situation where, you know, you're going to jump in front of a bullet for somebody. You know, they think about a situation where, you know, a car come flying down the street and you're going to jump in front of the car to try to save another person and stuff like that. They think about situations where, you know, a train is coming down the track, and there's a car stuck on the track, and you're gonna try to push the car off the track. You know, they think about situations where, you know, that are life threatening situations. And I want you all to know that that is not what Jesus was talking about when he was saying to no greater love than one who would lay down his life for a friend. He was not. Is not talking about death, life and death situations, okay, or death situations. And so I want to kind of break this down for you so you can help you to understand this. So Jesus, at the time that he spoke this to the disciples, again, he was not referring to death sacrifices. He was not referring to death situations, although he knew that his death was approaching. He knew that he was going to be dying pretty soon. He was not talking to them about this. He was talking to them about making sacrifices for their friends. He was talking to the 12 disciples about making a sacrifice for one another. He was talking to them about taking one for the team. Again, he's telling them that he wants them to love each other in the same way that he has loved them. He knows that he's going to be leaving soon. He knows that his death is coming soon, and he's trying to teach them some valuable principles concerning loving one another, concerning teamwork, concerning working together to accomplish a common goal for a common cause. And in that, he's telling them, love one another. There are going to be times where you're going to have to take one for the team. There are going to be times where you're going to have to make a sacrifice for the person that's standing next to you. You're going to have to make a sacrifice for the betterment of the team. You're going to have to make a sacrifice in order to move forward. Why? Because we're trying to accomplish something here. We're trying to reach a certain destination. And this, one of the reasons why we need to, as Avengers, assemble ourselves, or as Christians, as a church family, as a community, assemble ourselves together, because there is a common threat that is out there. There is a common enemy that is out there that's doing his best. Like we talked about last night, he is roaming the earth back and forth, looking for someone to devour. We have to understand that there is a real enemy out there, the devil himself and his army, that are trying their best to devour us, to destroy us, to end our lives, to end our dreams, to end our goals, to end our destination, to destroy our relationships with one another and with God and with Jesus Christ. And that enemy, in order to defeat that enemy, just like we understand with the Avengers, no matter how strong they were, no matter how many superhero powers they had, there were times where they faced enemies that they could not defeat alone. The only way they could defeat those enemies if they were to come together. If they were to assemble themselves together. Once they would assemble themselves together, then there would be no enemy that they could not defeat. We as Christians, we as a family, have to understand that there are going to be times where we're going to face enemies. We're going to face trials and tribulations and situations that we cannot defeat or handle on our own. In order for us to defeat them, we have to assemble ourselves together, which means that there are going to be times. Jesus is trying to get the disciples to understand this. He said, there are going to be this time. You are fighting an enemy out there, and I don't care how much superpowers you have. I don't care how filled you're going to be with the Holy Spirit, and how many times you can cast demons out of people, how many people you can raise from the dead, how many sick that you can heal, how many lame that you can cause to walk, blind people to see. There are going to be times where you're going to face situations that you cannot do by yourself. You're going to need to band together as a team to defeat or to accomplish that thing. And sometimes you're going to have to take one for the team. Now, Jesus said, I'm not talking about death. Now, I'm not talking about you dying. OK, I'm talking about doing something, doing what's necessary to help a team member or to help the team. OK, Jesus, many times in his life, and he took one for the team. Many times in his life, he took one for the disciples. He made sacrifices for them. He put himself aside to help them, or to help the cause, or to help the team out. You know, he wanted them to love each other the same way that he was loving them, knowing that he would be leaving them soon. He was encouraging them to be willing to put themselves aside to die. He was encouraging them, and when I say die, I don't mean to death. He was encouraging them to put themselves aside to sacrifice for one another. He was encouraging them that there are going to be times where they need each other, or they need to help each other. There are going to be times where they're going to have to make a sacrifice in order to help each other. This is what you call a true team. This is when you have people on your team that knows and understand and are willing to put themselves aside to help one another, put themselves aside to for the betterment of the whole team. This is what you call a true team. This is a true demonstration of the highest form of brotherly love. Again, he said, there is no greater love than this, that when you would lay down your life for a friend, when you would make a sacrifice for a friend, when you will take one for the team. Yeah. Amen. Taking one for the team is good when it provides a shared benefit. I say that again. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Taking one for the team is good when it provides a shared benefit. Many of you are familiar with baseball. Baseball is one of those sports where the term sacrifice is used commonly. And in baseball, a sacrifice is when a player comes up to bat, and that player might have, you know, one, two, maybe even three players on base. You know, somebody may be on first and second or third or whatever. And they're in a tight situation that could be the game determining factor. They're in a tight situation where this could be the difference between winning and losing. And in those moments, a person will get up to bat and make a sacrifice play. In other words, they know that they're not going to get on base. They know that they're going to get out. But in getting out, or in not getting on base, okay, they know that their actions is going to advance the other players that are on the bases. And if they can just at least advance the other players on the bases, they could score or advance to a place that could be the difference between winning and losing. So that player will happily and willingly get up to bat and make a sacrifice for the team. They will take one for the team. That's a situation where taking one for the team provides a shared benefit. Everybody's going to benefit. Everybody's going to win from the situation. Each team member needs to benefit in some way. So when you think about taking one for the team, I want you to change or do a paradigm shift in your thinking when it comes to taking one for the team. Okay. In that, taking one for the team is not you giving up, sacrificing, doing what's necessary to push the next person forward, and you get absolutely nothing. Now, I don't want you to be confused when I say that, okay? Our motivation for taking one for the team, helping someone that's in need, our motivation should not be because, oh, we're going to get something back. No, our motivation should be to help the next team member. Our motivation should be help the team as a whole. Knowing that I'm going to help this person or help help the team move forward, I know that I am going to benefit as well. If a person in baseball steps up to the base and they do a sacrificial play, they're going to help individually the people that's on the bases. They're also going to be helping out the team as a whole. And because they are helping out the team as a whole, they are on the team, which means that they are going to benefit from it as well. Okay. So when we think about, taking one for the team, it should provide a shared benefit. When you see someone hurting and in need and you help them, maybe sometimes helping them, you may pray for them, or maybe you should pray for them, or maybe, you know, you should pray for them, you know. And technically, when you do this, it's in a sense taking one for the team. Okay. Sometimes I'm gonna say it this way. Okay. Sometimes, you know, we see people or the team or, you know, individuals or whatever, they're in a situation where they need or they need some help. And in order for you to help them, you have to take one for the team. And, you know, it may sometimes require that you do something that you're not familiar with. It may require you to do something that maybe you're not comfortable with doing. Sometimes praying for somebody is not comfortable. Everybody's not comfortable with going, you know what? Yeah, you're going through this situation. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's not comfortable for everybody to do that, especially if you're not a person that prays openly with other people, you know, a lot. If that's not common to you, it may feel uncomfortable. But this is where it turns into taking one for the team. You knowing that this is not something that you're comfortable with, but you're willing to do it anyway because you know it's going to help this person out. You know, man, if I pray for this person, it may help them out. You know, we're getting God involved in this thing, and it's going to help their situation out. I feel uncomfortable about doing it because I don't do this type of stuff. You know what I mean? But, you know, if it's going to help this person, then let me do it. That's technically what you call taking one for the team. I remember I was when I used to drive Uber and Lyft, and there's a lady that I picked up one morning from her job. And she had just got to work, and probably about an hour later, she called for a Uber or a Lyft or whatever. I went and picked her up. And when I got there and picked her up, you know, she got in the car, what have you. And she was wanting to go to the hospital. And I said, okay, cool, you know. And as we got to drive and stuff, I noticed that she got in the car kind of gingerly, like, you know, like something was wrong. And I wasn't sure what was wrong. And so after we got to driving, I asked her, I said, hey, what's wrong? I mean, I said, are you okay? I said, are you going to hospital for yourself? And she was like, yeah. She said, my heart, my chest is hurting really bad. I'm not breathing well or whatever. And it amazed me how many people that I got called, you know, when I used to drive Uber and Lyft, that I was taken to the hospital. And one of the reasons why, sadly, is because of two reasons. One, because of the slow response of ambulances. Uber and Lyft, we would get there real fast. And two, because of the cost. And people were like, no, I just take an Uber and Lyft. It's cheaper and it's faster. Anyway, I was taking her to the hospital. And I was talking to her, you know, making sure she stays alert and different things like that. And as we got close to the hospital, and I knew, okay, she's about to get out really soon, I stopped and I asked her, I said, hey, do you mind if I pray with you? Can I pray for you? You know what I'm saying? And she was like, oh, please do, please do. And I prayed for her, you know, while we was driving and pulling up to the hospital. And she said to me, she said, oh, my gosh. I said, what's going on? She said, do you realize that? She said, I've been dealing with this, you know, for some days now. You know, I've been having some breathing problems and some chest problems. And she said, I just got so much stuff going on in my life right now. I'm just stressed out with all kinds of stuff. She said, everybody in my family knows what I'm going through. And not one person has ever thought or stopped to pray for me. She said, people on my job, you know, they know, you know. People, she said, there's so many people in my life know the stresses that I'm dealing with, and even some of the physical problems. She said, no one has ever thought or stopped to pray for me. She said, you are the first person to pray for me. You know, sometimes when it comes to taking one for the team, we need to think of it. We need not to think about it as being something really big and huge, you know, this great giant, you know, sacrificial act. Sometimes it's just small little things that could be taking one for the team, you know, where we just do something that we may not be comfortable in doing, or do something that maybe we're not familiar with doing to help someone out or to advance the team. Because like I said before, the enemy is out to destroy us. This enemy was out to destroy this woman. And just that simple act of praying for her was something that was, you know, sent her into the ER feeling much better. You know, it may not be something, you know, that you're, again, like you, that you're familiar with, but do it anyway. What I mean is this: do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. If you are in a situation where you needed some help and you wish somebody would help you out, then think of it as this. So when you find somebody else that's in a situation, your team member or somebody that needs some help, the enemy is coming against them. The enemy is wreaking havoc in their lives and having way in their lives. And you see them in that situation. What can you do to help them out? What can you do to make their situation better? You know, and so you think of it like this: do unto others as look at their situation. Like, oh my gosh, if I was in that situation, what would I want people to do for me? How would I want people to help me? And if you think of it like that, you know, say, man, what? So do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. You would hope that helping somebody out, you would hope that taking one for the team, that one day when you're in need of help, one day when you need someone to take one for you, that they would do it. Maybe they won't, but maybe they will. That's your hope. That's your hope that they will. But I want you to understand and go back to what I said earlier. When Jesus was talking about, you know, taking one for the team and laying down one's life, he wasn't talking about life and death situations. But that clip is a good a visual or a good object lesson to try to help us to understand the willing to make a sacrifice or the willing to take one for the team to help somebody out, to help a lot of people out, to help the team out. And so he was willing to do what was necessary. He was willing to go the extra mile to do that. So he decides to take one for the team. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this: we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Again, I want you all to understand that this is, Jesus is not referring to us. And here in John is not referring us to give up our lives to death for one another. Okay? Even what he says is this. He says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Jesus constantly demonstrated what love was. He was constantly demonstrating what it meant to love God, what it meant to love ourselves, what it meant to love one another. And he loved God so much, he loved us so much, he loved himself so much that he was willing to do whatever was necessary for the team. He says, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers. Again, not to death. How do I know that he's not referring to a death situation? How do I know he's not talking about giving up our lives to death? In the very next verse, verse 17, he says this. He says, if someone has money, or if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? If you see someone, you have enough money, but you see someone who is in need and you have no compassion, or you show no compassion, how can that person say that God's love is in them? So immediately following verse 16, John gives us an example of what he's talking about when it comes to giving up your life for your life for your brother, your sister. He's not referring to death. He's referring to helping someone out. He's referring to having compassion on someone and saying that this is a demonstration of God's love. Okay. This here that John gave us in verse number 17, this is an act of love that is demonstrated in serving by making a sacrifice. Let me say that one more time so you can really understand this. This is an act of love demonstrated in serving by making a sacrifice. Then he goes on in verse number 18, and he says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. We will be confident when that day comes, when we stand before God, that we did what? That we loved God, that we loved our neighbors as we did what? As we loved ourselves. And when we do these acts of kindness or these acts of love, that is demonstrated by serving in making a sacrifice, taking one for the team, doing what's necessary to help someone, everybody working for a common cause, a common goal, a common outcome to defeat a common enemy. So let us learn from the Avengers by realizing that we need to assemble ourselves for a common cause to defeat the enemy. Let us put aside all of our differences and let us unite. Let us stop tearing down our fellow brothers and sisters and in acts of love, encourage and lift one another up. Let us be willing to take one for the team. And there came a day unlike any other, when Earth's mightiest heroes and heroines found themselves united against a common threat. On that day, the Avengers were born to fight the foes that no single hero could withstand. Through the years, their roster has prospered, changing many times, but their glory has never been denied. Heed the call, then and now, Avengers assemble.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.